Hey.
Hi.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Lady in the Harley podcast. I'm Dagna.
I'm Cheryl.
Yeah, I remember a senior hall.
Oh, gosh. So thank you for joining us. Another week episode of Lady in the Harlot. Yeah, so we posted something. Was it a week ago or a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I think it was probably like last week or the week before that.
Yeah, so. On the Instagram page. Yeah. I found this. There's a therapist that I follow goes by at Therapy Jeff. He gives amazing suggestions and tips when it comes to dating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to play the clip. Basically, these are important questions and that you should be asking on a first date. So when we posted it, obviously, we love when you guys engage with us. Right. And give your feedback and give your thoughts on things.
Of course.
So when I saw it, I was like, hell yeah, I really think that this is important. I think that Cheryl was on board with putting it because I think we're both in that space of we're just tired of wasting time.
Yeah, it's like basic 12 personal questions you should ask on a first, when you go on a first date.
Right, right. So yeah. So it's kind of like, and that's exactly what I mean, is like, I think we're just tired of wasting time.
I think because the dating world is just all over the place. You have people who are on that say that they're ready to be in a relationship when they're really not ready to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you kind of ask these questions that we're about to address from the beginning, it will save a lot of people a lot of time.
It'd be like, next. You remember that show on MTV? Next.
Yeah.
We need to bring that shit back.
Yeah, seriously.
Just a bus full of singles. And we ask these questions and then it's like, next.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people aren't being real with themselves at the same time too, where people may feel the need to want to be in something serious. But then when you start to address these questions, they're like,
you're getting too serious for me.
Yeah. This too is soon. A little bit too much.
This
is real talk.
Right.
You know, these are things that you should know from the beginning.
Right.
Everybody should know by now what they fucking want.
Right. Especially you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you are in our age gap, like bubble, our age bubble.
You know, technically, if you're in your 30s,
late 30s,
40s, and beyond,
yes,
then you should know what you want by now in a partner, in a relationship.
Yes.
If you want a relationship, if you want something solid,
you just
want
to sleep around.
Yeah, you should know this by now to not. And if you know,
then you know.
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't know, now you know.
Yeah, because life is short. Who got fucking time to waste? Like, you know, having fun in games, that's good when you're in your teens and early 20s or
yes.
so. But when you start to get further on, yes. it's like, okay, now it's time to slow it down. Now,
what
you know.
What is it that I want?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you should know. And that's the whole point of having fun and dating in your 20s is
yes.
to figure out what it is you like, what you want, what you, you know, and then communicate.
Which is what people don't know how to do. People our age don't even fucking know how to communicate.
Right.
And this is before, back in the days, we didn't even have cell phones like that where you could sit here and text everything all day instead of talking to somebody.
Right.
We had no choice but to get on the phone. It's so funny when you find people who are older than us who don't know how to communicate.
Yeah.
Who are texting communication. No, sweetie, I need to get on the phone and talk to you.
Yes.
And hear your voice.
Yeah.
Like
the importance. Yeah, you cannot
basic
hear my
stuff.
You cannot hear my voice on a text. And now with all this AI stuff that's coming out, I wouldn't be surprised if that's next for the cell phones. Is AI voice
virtual.
Text. It's like you record your voice and then when you text, it's your voice. That's the next step. I already
so
called
stupid.
It America. That's the next step.
Yeah, I can't.
And
I'm old fashioned,
so we already have these guys that are like, well, why would I call? Like, it bothers me. It triggers me. I don't like being on the phone.
No, sweetie.
And now they're going to be even more in that space of when they hear the AI voice.
And this is somebody, and we're talking about somebody who's older than us.
Yes.
Okay. So go figure.
Right. But we're on the topic, but kind of getting off the topic.
No, it is.
Because we're passionate about it.
You know, because it's on the realm of, you know, relationships, getting to know somebody. Being real with yourself, being knowing what you want prior to going out into the dating world.
Mm-hmm.
And people claim they want certain things, but then when we get to the nitty gritty of it, you really don't.
Yes, right. So let's see if this will play.
Hi, I'm careful though, because you could scare some folks away, which is kind of the point if we're being honest, right? One, do you want kids or do you want more kids? Two, what kind of relationship do you want to be in? Poly, monog, anarchy? Three, is it important to get married? Four, where are you on the political spectrum and who did you vote for in the last election? Five, when you need emotional support, do you turn inward or reach outward? Six, how often do you drink or do drugs? Seven, when did your last relationship end and how done are you with your ex? Eight, how important is religion to you? Nine, what's your main priority in life? 10, how important is physical intimacy and on average, how often do you want to do it? 11, list all your deal breakers. 12, why do relationships typically end for you?
Which are very important questions. Why do relationships end for you?
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people still can't figure out. Why did this person leave me? Why did this person walk away? And they still can't play back in their minds to why.
Well, we, you know,
and sometimes it's not even them. Mm-hmm. It could be the other person because the other person is stuck still on the ex without right. you realizing. It has nothing to do with you. But then there's, at the same time, it could also be yourself.
And that's, but it's funny that you brought that up because that's why he asked question number 7. When did your last relationship end and how done are you?
Right.
So
I think people think that they're done, mm-hmm. but not really.
Right.
They use the next person to say I'm done.
Right. Right. So I actually wrote down these 12 questions and Cheryl and I are kind of going to touch on each of them. I think that we can deep dive into each of them for an hour each if we wanted to, because we've experienced both of these and the importance of why this question needs to be asked.
Right.
But we won't do that. We'll be very brief about it because this is one episode.
So funny.
So first off, I'm going to say that he said asking these questions on a first date. And we did have somebody on our page that says, well, by question 3, he would have been out. Right. So he's right. like, it's too serious. You shouldn't be asking these types of questions. And it's like, well, why not? You're getting to know the person.
Right.
Right. His thing is, oh, well, I feel like you should ask that after you have sex or something to that extent.
Which is crazy.
Which is like, no.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. We live in a world where people feel like sex is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal thing. But we've made it where it's just like nothing.
Expected.
It's like nothing.
Is nothing.
Yeah. It's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, can you drive me down the block? Or right. something like, it's just right. nothing. Where there used to be value to it, you mm-hmm. know, or importance to it. Now it's just like, whatever. To the point where if you can't ask somebody a question like, oh, do you want to get married? That's mm-hmm. that's too personal. But, oh, can we have sex? That's not.
Yeah, right. I mean, even when you're having, so when you're getting to know somebody, so that's why you say, if somebody's saying, I'm looking for something serious.
Right.
Then they better be prepared to answer some questions or mm-hmm. ask questions.
If that person is real.
Right.
Yeah,
because a lot of people are not feeling comfortable to ask these questions because they're scared of like,
I'm going to run this person away.
Yeah. And then the other person is too scared to answer them because it's like, okay, well now you're being too smothering. Whoa,
right.
hold up. You know? And it's like, what you just said on your dating profile or in person, I'm ready for something serious or
right.
I'm looking for something serious.
Right.
If I say, okay, well, what do you looking for, like, what are your intentions? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I just, you know, want to see how things go and go, you know, go with the flow and stuff like that. So
what does that even mean? Go with the flow.
Right. I'm thinking now go with the flow means having fun and playing the field.
Right.
It's just a nicer way of saying it.
Right.
I don't know. Just, you know, I that's how I'm starting to see it.
I think that's just a way to have it open for the possibilities of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But without, you know, really specifying what.
That's why we have these situationships.
Yeah.
So the first question that he asks is, you know, do you want kids or do you want more kids? I think that's an important question to ask because we have so many people that like get into relationships and they don't really touch on the topic of kids because they say it's too serious, too soon to talk about.
I think that should be number one.
Right, because your
question
kids,
to ask.
If you have kids, that the kids should be your priority.
And right.
You're looking for a suitable partner to possibly have around your kids at some point.
Right.
So I think it is important to ask that question. Also, there are people out there that want kids so bad.
Right.
Or they don't want kids so bad.
Right.
And let's say you're vibing with someone and you don't talk about kids, and then you find out later on down the line
you've already, they don't want
or this one wants it,
that's gonna be a clash, and that's not gonna
it's like a boxing match of emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, so I
think that's a very important question that mm-hmm. anybody should ask on a first date.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, it's just like the dating site, they check off, do you want kids?
Yeah.
Do you have kids? Do you right. want any more? Is there right. a possibility? Maybe.
Right.
You know me, I don't want no more kids. I have two already. So mm-hmm. I usually say no more.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can't.
We can't anyway. But, you know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind, you know, somebody else having kids.
Right.
I don't mind that. But right. for me to personally have, that's a big no.
Right. And that's why I think it needs to be talked about. Because even on the dating sites, when they ask you those questions, it doesn't go in depth of like... No. You know, it goes
into... And I don't even think people are really being honest with themselves to tell you the truth even on those sites.
Right, right. So the second question is, what kind of relationship do you want? He said poly, straight, anarchy.
Anarchy. You know what? Because I don't think, again, people are not really being real. People mm-hmm. say that they want to be in a serious relationship, but then you are talking to Becky... Susan,
Michelle,
how is, you know,
Yolanda? Let's throw some flavor up in that.
I know, right?
Becky, Susie. I'm like, what? I was like, where's the Shaniquas and the Shaquanas up in here?
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it's just, and these are the same people who are claiming that they want something serious,
mm-hmm.
but you're talking to multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
So who's being real?
Right.
You know right. what I mean? Like, just the problem is nobody's being honest. 100%.
I think not even
with themselves.
Right.
They're not being honest, you know, in terms of what they truly want. It's yeah. like in their mind, they're saying, well, I'm getting older. This is what I'm supposed to want.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not what I really want.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Especially like the older generation, they were like brought up to like, date with the purpose of getting married, and yeah. a lot of them don't even want to get married.
No, they just get married. They just get married because
that's how they were programmed.
Yeah, and this. Oh, everybody else is. All my friends are getting married. Yeah. So
fuck it.
You know. Yeah. Let me make an honest girl out of this one, even though I'm not 100% into her.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I really want her best friend who's yeah. a dude. You know, something like that.
But that's real talk,
right?
You know how many guys I know that wasn't 100% like. All into this one woman, but they got married just because everybody else around them is settling down and getting married and mm-hmm. having kids.
Yeah.
And then they're getting older, so they're like, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're not happy in the long run.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that were not addressed in the beginning of that relationship.
Yeah, they didn't talk. It's like, no. how did you get to the point of actually getting married and going down the aisle?
No, you know why? Because everything was just like fun-based, sex-based.
Yeah, and it was then, like, well, we get along.
Yeah.
We might as well.
Yeah. But then when you get married, you realize...
honeymoon phase dies.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that you don't have in common
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. So then that causes a rift in the marriage that yes. you so-called ran to go be in.
Right. So question number three was, is it important for you to get married? So I think right now,
no.
that's a no. For a lot of people.
Because it's so many people getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people, again, are getting married.
They never worked on themselves.
Yeah.
That's why I said that next relationship that I am in,
mm-hmm.
this person have better worked on themselves.
Let's be real. Like, why get married nowadays? Let's be real. Why? You know why? Because I got married and... I got married to the wrong person. Let's be real. I didn't see eye to eye. We didn't, you know, he's not a bad dude, but I didn't see eye to eye. We didn't have really much in common, if you mm-hmm. want to get technical, which mm-hmm. is why a lot of people separate and divorce. You drift apart and you grow apart.
Right.
But then, you know, when it comes down to divorce, you know, everybody says it's, oh my God, I have this dream wedding. Oh my goodness. Yes. But you know how much that shit fucking costs?
Right.
To get divorced, especially yes. if you have investments within that marriage mm-hmm. from kids to, you know, finances to
house.
Property.
Yeah.
And to freaking, and if you're not getting along, you're in a bad place.
Mm-hmm.
That shit could be pricey with freaking lawyers in court. Okay.
Yeah.
And it costs more
to get divorced than to get married.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if both of you are not seeing eye to eye.
Yeah.
So nowadays, I would just tell people, just be common husband.
Yeah, common law. Law
of husband and wife.
Do a Puerto Rican wedding and just live together. Yeah,
because at the end of the day, you know why? Because if both you don't, if it doesn't work out in the long run, both of you go your separate ways.
Yeah.
There's no legal binding agreement between you two that's holding you together where it's like, shit, now.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I think it's cool to, you know, maybe even do a nice little ceremony, but not necessarily get married.
Yeah.
Just like a commitment type of thing.
Yeah, commitment. Yeah.
You know, like a domestic partnership with like a commitment thing. Get me a promise ring, like we good.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're with somebody who you're like really, both of you are really like vibing each other. You're like
head over heels in love. Like, you know that this is it. And everybody else could see that this is it.
Yeah. Then I can say, okay. But then majority of people in the world that we live in today are not in that space. You may think you are, but you're not, you know?
So question number four, I really like, and you know what was funny about this question is that it was never a question before 2016.
Okay, what question?
And the question is, where are you on the political spectrum and who did you vote for in the last election? I will say that I've never thought about that and never felt that way until 2016. So, and I think that we're all in that space right now, and it sucks. And for many reasons why it sucks.
Right. And well, for me, I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% liberal nor 100% conservative. I'm in the middle.
I feel like you need a mixture of both in order to make something run. However, it sucks. It sucks when you're on a particular side.
Right.
And
that person is not seeing your side of things.
No.
They're just seeing it one way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where it could
be. For me, I could see both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, I've never really had that problem 100%.
I have. Say.
I know you have.
I have.
I know. And it the crazy part is that person is, you know, Latin,
right?
You know,
so this is this is what I mean. Even though you and I are both kind of like, you need a balance of the two in order to make something work, right? We're neither Republican, Democrat, whatever, right? Or liberal, whatever you want to call it. But when let's say you're in the middle, and then you got somebody that's extreme, 100%, bam.
Yeah, I can't. To me, you have to be an even balance of both, or have the understanding on both sides of things. Mm-hmm. It just can't be, well, screw this or screw that. I need an even balance of at least both.
Right. And when it comes to like, it's a touchy topic because you end up actually weeding through a lot quicker because you start to see where people's heads are at.
Right.
And then not only that, but then you also see how their family and friends are going to act with you.
Right.
Because they're all on that same quote unquote side. Doesn't make for a comfortable situation. Doesn't make it good or right. Especially when episodes start popping up.
Right.
And I'm speaking in the sense of the fact of like, Cheryl and I are both Black. We both date white men.
Yes.
So when these situations pop up where you're sitting at a restaurant and the waiter is talking to your partner and not you.
Which has happened plenty of times.
Yes.
And then I had to look at him and be like, do you not notice? And he's like, notice what?
What do you mean? Oh, come on. Do you really think that he was being racist?
Yes. Yeah. Especially when I'm the only Black person in the restaurant.
Yeah. And you noticed that the waiter went to the other table and spoke to the woman and the man because they're both white? Yes.
I pay attention to those things.
Right. Right. I do too.
Yeah.
And it's
just like what happened to us.
Yes. Oh, let's
tell the story what happened at the Depeche Mode because, you know, our listeners knew that
we went to the concert.
Mm-hmm. And yes. Proceed.
Okay. So Cheryl and I go to the concert. And we end up sitting in this section. And when we get to the section, there is a girl sitting in one of our seats.
Yeah. So this is like almost like VIP type of area where we're like right there.
It's close.
Yes.
Right. It's close. It's nice. I could see the wrinkle on Martin Gore's face. That's how close we are. Right. And the girl that was sitting there, she looked really comfortable. Like she's been sitting there for a minute.
Right.
and let me clarify, when I say a minute, that's a long time.
Right.
Because we have listeners that are all over the world that don't understand our metaphors. Yeah. I have to tell you about that, by the way. So So I go over and I said, excuse me, like, I think one of those seats is not yours. She's just like, oh, I said, we have 11 and 12. And she's like, I have 13. Oh, I'm so sorry. She gets up and moves to her seat. Right.
Which is
not
right
a
next
problem.
To us,
right.
Technically.
Next to, yeah. Not a problem. The first two rows in front of us are empty. Where I'm sitting is the end of the row. However, there is no way to walk up or down.
Because the VIP section
is like right there. Yeah. Yes. So the only way, the only walkway is on the other end of the aisle.
Right.
There's two couples sitting directly behind us.
White. And let's clarify, yes. They're Caucasian. White,
everybody. Yes. So Cheryl and I
everybody,
are the only,
actually.
Everybody in this section is white. Yes. Right? So Cheryl
Here
and
we
I.
go again.
Yes. So Cheryl and I are sitting there probably about a good 10 minutes.
Yes.
And this older white man.
Let's name him by name.
George of Madison Square Garden Ushers.
Yes.
Proceeds to climb over the seat or like runs
in.
You,
this is the older man.
Yes.
Who proceeded to climb over the seats. Who looked like he was in his 60s,
yeah,
70s.
70s,
like,
yeah. Yeah. So he comes up to me because I'm the lighter of the two of us. And he says, I need to look at your tickets to make sure you two belong in this section.
Out of nowhere.
Excuse me. I was in shock. I was like, what? Excuse me? Like, right. I paused because I'm just like, huh?
Yeah.
And then the gentleman behind me, who's white, was like, what the fuck am I seeing? Like, right. Am I really seeing this?
Right.
Do you see this? Like, he's talking loud. He's talking to his wife and his other two friends that are there.
And he said, George, how come you didn't ask me?
Yeah. How come you didn't ask us for our tickets?
Yeah.
And he's, I need to make sure that these two belong in this section. So I proceed to show him, and then he tells us to enjoy the show. And I was like, thank you, George. I specifically yelled out his name so that I could remember.
Right.
and so the guy behind us, his wife, was just like, oh, what? And he's like, did you not see what just happened? Like, I can't believe I just saw that. And he was apologizing to us. And I was like, yeah, two black girls couldn't possibly be sitting in this section.
Yes.
You know?
Well, originally, these seats were going for like... crazy.
Yeah, like $800, yeah. $900.
We got it something. For like dirt cheap. Last minute.
Yes. So
last minute.
That was, so this is what I mean by when you ask, like, it sucks that we have to ask that question of what political side are you on and who did you vote for in the last election?
Right.
And like I said, pre-2016, no, that wasn't even a thought unless you were like a super like political person.
Right.
Then you might ask that question. But a lot of us didn't really stand on a side until after 2016.
Right. Right.
Proceeding on. Number five. When you need emotional support, do you go inward or reach outward? I think that's good.
Yeah.
I never thought about asking that question.
Because a lot of, look at the situations that I've dealt with. Mm-hmm. Like even the, you know, the person that I'm with right now, I think he deals with it inward,
mm-hmm.
where he shuts down. Like I was one of those people too, where I would just shut down. I wouldn't deal with it outward
until I poke you and be like, you need to talk.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's important to talk, mm-hmm. and to, you know where that person's head is at.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not a mind reader.
Yes. And that's why a lot of relationships fail, because if you tell the person that you're seeing, well, I tend to go inward,
right,
then you have to know that automatically they probably are not well at communicating.
Right.
Because they go inward.
Or maybe they're too nervous to really fully
right.
express themselves.
And then I would ask them, like, why do you feel the need to go inward?
Right.
Would you ever feel comfortable to reach outward?
Right.
Like, I would start to ask those questions because it's important to me, because I want to make sure that my partner or potential partner is...
We're on the same page.
Mentally stable enough to know to do that. So
right.
if I had known to ask that question, I probably wouldn't have gotten married, because... my ex-husband felt the need to talk to his priest, supposedly, even though he never went to church when we were together.
His quote-unquote priest was somebody else that he was seeing. Who wants to pretend to be all holier than thou.
Right. We'll touch on that topic. I know we're going to have to do probably a two-parter on my shit when it comes down to my marriage, because it was a lot. But it's funny, because the reason I brought that up is because I remember when we started going to marriage counseling, she's like, well, you know, it's important to have friends, and it's important to have friends of, you know, the same sex or opposite sex, someone that you feel comfortable confiding in, blah, blah, blah. So she said, oh, Dagna, do you confide in anybody? And I was like, yeah, this person. Oh, okay, great. How about a male person? Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, this person. So then she goes to my ex. He's like, no. She's like, so wait, you have like no male friends. Oh, I don't trust them. I don't need friends. And then she's like, but then who do you confide in? He's like, oh, my priest. And she's like, and how is that working out for you?
That's such bullshit. He's right. Just like, you know, I'm just going to say my freaking priest because that sounds like the right thing to say. Which is utter bullshit because we all both know you ain't fucking confessing to no damn priest because you got a whole lot more to confess about. Yeah. Talk about confession.
These are my confessions.
So I think that is a very good question to ask that I never thought of asking that I think I will start asking going forward.
Right. And that's definitely important because it's all about communication. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how to communicate with your partner, then you have no relationship at all.
Right. And then, you know, if they say, oh, well, when it comes to emotional support, I tend to go inward. It's like, okay, well then what does that look like? Like, what's your process? How do you go inward?
Do you shut down?
Do you smoke weed? Do you do mushrooms?
Which is another part of that question. Do you do drugs to calm yourself? So, you know, because you deal with anxiety because you don't know how to, you know, communicate with shit.
Right. So that's question number six. It says, how often do you drink or do drugs?
So drugs is a big no-no for me unless it's weed or, you know, you can smoke.
Right.
But just not fucking every single day.
Okay? Right. I get it to get the edge off every once in a while.
I get it. Me too.
Every single day.
24 hours a day, seven days a week. No. Yeah. How do you function? I can't.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand once in a while just to kind of, you know, unwind and, you know, deal. But not like all the time. I can't.
I had told you this the other day because like I had a lot of like panic attacks and anxiety a lot when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And there are people that, and so like I ended up in therapy at 14. Right.
Right.
So I think I always say therapy is so important. If I had not been in therapy, I probably would have been one of those people dependent on weed where it's like, oh, I have a medical condition. I need it for my anxiety. I need it for my panic attacks. And it's like,
they don't work in New York, it's legal.
Right. But you don't, luckily for them, but it's like, you don't think about, okay, well, let's say we got hit with a bomb and all the weed was gone.
What the fuck would y'all do?
What would you do?
Take something else? Y'all better be careful because they freaking lace fentanyl with all this other shit now, mm-hmm. which is very dangerous now. So it's like, you got to be cautious on what you're really doing.
Right.
And I'm going to be real. I don't want to be with somebody who has... To me, that's substance abuse, you know, where you're reliant on this.
Yes.
You know?
If you feel like I need a drink, you're an alcoholic. I'm sorry, you are.
Right.
Every single day, if you say I need, no, you don't.
Yeah.
My dad is a functioning alcoholic. He drinks a bottle of wine every day.
Right.
You know? When you say I need this and you're doing it every day, you're an addict of whatever that is.
Right. Without you realizing that.
Yes.
You know? Yes.
I mean, that was how it was with Mr. Jazz. He could not have a meal without a drink.
Yeah, he had to have his tea. He called it tea toddies.
Yes. like the tea is going to get rid of the whiskey that's in it. No.
Yeah, bourbon, actually.
Well, yes.
And then he couldn't go to sleep regularly.
And he had popping
pills. He had to take something all the time just to be able to sleep because he couldn't turn his mind off.
Right. So,
you know, and I get it, you know, if you can't turn your mind off, but then you got to do something to try to help that without having to deal or depend on this.
Mm-hmm. And so basically you're an addict.
Right.
So when you ask that question, how often? It's funny because he didn't ask, do you drink or do drugs? It's how often?
Right. Because it's true. How often is it? It's a deal breaker in terms of, you know,
because we all have something that we kind of go to.
Mm-hmm.
To cope. I think we all do. Like my thing, when I was a kid, I used to bite my nails. And that was like
I don't know if I had anything to go to.
Candy. Your addiction is sugar.
Yeah, still is kind of.
Right. Like when it
comes. Thank God I'm not diabetic because everyone's in my family. I don't consume it like that. Hence I drink a lot of water.
Right.
Maybe that flushes through my system.
I don't know. But there's always a little something that we feel like we can't do without. Starbucks.
But I could go without Starbucks.
Can you go?
Yeah. I did for the past two days.
You asked me, what was it that you asked me? You were like, oh, I want to know if you can go, oh, without my social media.
Yeah, because you're addicted to social media.
And it's like, I said, yeah, I can because I like being in silence.
Yeah, but you like social media. It's entertainment.
I do. It is. You know what it is? I put that in the same box as 90 Day Fiance. let me just shut my mind off and see other people's bullshit. You know, not only that, but I do like connecting to people and I actually do connect to people.
Right.
I naturally connect with people. I respond to people that I'm, yeah, maybe I don't see them every day and maybe I was never close to them, but I genuinely care.
Right.
So I actually utilize social media for the purpose of what it's supposed to be.
Right.
And I like to put a lot of silly things on there to make people laugh because I know one day I'm going to die and I want people to know. You know what? I liked going on Dagna's page because I know that I could always go there for a laugh or get my mind off for something, or she reached out to me out of nowhere.
Right.
Just to say, hey, how are you?
Right.
That's why.
Yeah.
But I can go without it. I have.
Yeah. But going back to that, I mean, I think that's a very important question not to ask how much do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how often? I think that's very important because I think, you know, we can all deal with things at moderation, but when it's excessive, mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit much.
Yeah. Number seven, when did your last relationship end and how done are you? Super, super important question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see that question as a, well, you shouldn't be asking me that and you're getting too serious.
I think that's important to know.
Yeah.
Because I think these online dating, it's mm-hmm. like, oh, I just broke up with somebody just a week ago. You know, I'm back on right now. I'm back on right now looking for my one.
Yeah, looking for something serious.
Yes. And it's just like, how can you really be on here looking for the one, looking for something serious when you just got out of something?
And it's like, and no, it's sweetie, like, you're looking for the next one.
Yeah. It's like, but I don't think people today, because this is because of the whole dating and, you know, social mm-hmm. media, I think people are just used to going about things this way. Mm-hmm. Not really to take the time to be with themselves.
Right.
You know, I think that's another thing. A lot of people are afraid to be alone or yeah. don't want to be alone. So they jump into the next thing really quickly.
It's funny because they're like, I don't like myself when I'm alone. I don't like being alone. And it's like, well, if you can't handle yourself alone, like how the hell are you supposed to handle being with someone alone? Like
yeah.
if you can't handle you, how right. is someone else is going to handle you?
Right. Like there's a lot of people who have not gotten past their ex. Mm-hmm. You know, I've dealt with the situation
more than once,
where, you know, and it's so funny, you know, he, you know, blames himself or questions himself because mm-hmm. of these other relationships didn't work out. But when you really deep dive into it, it has nothing, as I told him, it has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. Those people that went back to their ex, regardless if it was abusive, wasn't over their ex. Mm-hmm. You know, they just used you as a distraction and to try to get over it, but didn't let you in on the real deal of what was really going on with them. So here you're in this, you know, picture perfect world of, oh my God, I'm so into this person. And you're thinking this person's, they led you to believe that they were right there with you, but in reality they weren't, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know,
I think, and what boggles my mind is that he's attracted that same relationship more than once. So then it should be a question to him of, what do I need to work on so that I don't keep attracting these types of relationships?
And really pay attention.
Right. And then on top of that is he has this really good thing with you.
Right.
But yet he's pushing you away because he's, oh, the same thing's going to happen again. It's like, no. Not in this situation.
Yeah, because I was not with I broke up with my ex maybe like 6 months prior to meeting him.
It was longer than that.
And I was done after like a week.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the first couple of days kind of like stings, and then after mm-hmm. that it's like, okay, I'm out of the haze.
Yeah, I'm out of the haze. Yeah. And God, he really did not like my kids. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and I moved on really quickly to the point that it kind of made him this.
Yeah, he was shocked. Like, yeah. Wow, you forgotten about me?
Yeah.
Doll face.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, so I didn't go into relationship, you know, being stuck on anybody. Mm-hmm. I was just really looking for something really serious mm-hmm. to go forward. But
he didn't give himself enough time. I still feel like it was way too soon to jump into something, especially when you haven't worked on a lot of the past relationships and what had happened.
Right. But then by now, it's been almost a year. Mm-hmm. It will be a year.
Right.
And he's now starting to come out of it after me kind of saying to him and giving him the realization that it has nothing to do with you. These people that you attracted mm-hmm. we're still stuck. And it's like a drug. You wonder to yourself, why did they go back? This person was abusive. Because mm-hmm. when you develop a relationship with somebody for a long period of time, it's like a drug.
Yeah, because it's a pattern. And this is kind of just a little sprinkle of like someone that I follow. And he talks about love bombing. So right. in the beginning, it's that's why this is the honeymoon phase.
Yeah.
You're releasing this chemical of endorphins of it's like, I'm on this high. I'm so in love. And this person is all this stuff. And they're showing a side of them mm-hmm. that it's like, wow, this person is great. This is my match. Oh, my God. Like, I think I found the one. Mm-hmm. And then as time goes on, you start to really see what's going on.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, and then you're hoping you keep yourself there with the hope of and the glimpses change. Of like, well, I saw this before. Maybe I'll get it again.
Yeah.
So then they sprinkle a little love bomb on you and you're okay for now. Right. And then it goes back to the same shit.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing cycle. So then all of a sudden, like Depeche Mode says, you know, days turn into weeks turn into months turn into years.
Yeah. And we've both been through that where mm-hmm. we've gone back to the ex.
Yep.
You know, stupidly.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still like, I'm working on these traumas of several relationships.
Right.
That I've never gave myself time. Never right. gave myself time. This is the first time in like over 20 years that I've been single and not doing anything with anybody.
Right.
And it's like a new beginning. It really feels like a new beginning.
Right.
And like really, and really showing myself. And I feel like I'm ready to face all the ugly shit that I didn't want to face before.
Right.
So, you know, to that question of like, how done are you? I really feel like people need to give themselves time. It's like the show that I was telling you about last night, you know, it's two married couples and one of the ladies divorces her husband and marries the neighbor.
And then
they're married for like a few months. It starts to go downhill. So now she's separated from the neighbor husband, but now she's with the neighbor husband, the wife of the husband. It's like weird.
Yeah.
Shit.
It's a bunch of messy.
Yeah.
It's messy
and,
shit.
And so her first husband's telling her like, you're not giving yourself time
because she has issues.
He's like, you left me for her husband. Now you're married to her husband. Now you're separated from her husband. And now you're with her. Like
with the ex-wife. Like it's just, just weird. Like,
yeah,
that's somebody who has a lot of issues.
Right.
And where you're jumping from relationship. You're in this social circle and you're going from one person to another.
Right.
It's like you're going around the circle of each individual person.
I might have given myself maybe a month or two before I was like dating someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just I'm disgusted with my actions, but I know why I was doing it. And it all goes back to beginning shit of when I was brought into this fucking world. But this is what I mean. There's a lot of people that don't work on themselves at all.
Yeah.
They just jump in and use
relationship
people.
To relationship. They, and use
yeah.
people. Yeah.
They use people to try to get over other people. And I was like, I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to be that distraction. I don't want to be the side chick. I want to be the one.
The main focus.
When you know that you're ready for the one.
Right.
Done. That's it.
Right.
Moving on. Number 8, how important is religion to you? I think that's important too.
I think it's important.
Because I'm not religious. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious.
I am semi-religious. I'm not no holy roller, but I
do. She believes in the Bible.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do believe. I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. if that means anything nowadays. But I do. I want somebody who has the same somewhat beliefs that I grew up
believing. Is he religious?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah.
He goes to church?
He used to.
Really?
Yeah. So when he was married, he used to go like, you
know. Is he Catholic?
Because he grew up that way to go. Yeah. He grew up. He's Irish.
So what?
Background. Yeah. You know, so he grew up like, you know, you grew up in the church. Mm-hmm. Old school. This mm-hmm. is how it was. Even when I was younger growing up.
Now it's like.
Now he doesn't go regularly, but he has his beliefs, you know, from when he grew up, when he was younger. Same thing with me. Now, do we follow shit to the T?
Nope.
No, but we still have these beliefs.
Yeah, because we're programmed.
Yeah, so.
It's anybody that was.
So to me, I do want somebody who has those same values mm-hmm. and some same beliefs. I don't need you to be up there preaching, but I just need you to.
Can you imagine? He's like, honey, before you pass the mayonnaise, can you recite Corinthians for me? Verse. Da, da, da. You'd be like, wait, what? No. Maybe you're good.
No, I do know though, because mind you, I study, so I still remember everything from when I grew up.
Psalm 37.
I know all the books of the Bible by heart.
Okay.
Yeah, I know everything because I studied it. Confirmation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So here's a belief. I'm a believer. Mm-hmm. You're not a believer. So and you grew up in Catholic school.
Exactly. Yep. My grandma was a very strict, strong Catholic who actually went to the convent and would read to the nuns in French and in English. And she was a religion teacher. She taught like an after school religion class for preparing kids for like their communion, their confirmation.
Right.
So yeah. No, I don't believe in the Bible.
Yeah, I do.
So
I believe.
It's okay. You're safe.
Yeah, I'm safe.
Don't worry.
You're safe. I believe
in there's a higher power. I believe that there's a balance. I believe, if anything, I'm probably more like my mom's religion than I am a Catholic.
Okay.
Because my mom's pagan. So
okay,
it's a very nature-based religion, and there's a balance. Is feminine and masculine. You can't have one without the other, just like you can't have good and evil. Like it's just a balance. There's the moon, there's the sun.
All right, so that's the difference. That's the difference between you and I.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. I'm a believer.
I believe
in Christ. I believe in Jesus. I believe, you know, he rose again.
I believe that I don't need to go to a church to talk to God.
Well, I believe that too. I don't believe that you need to go to church. I believe he's everywhere.
I believe that this higher power has created everything in this world. I should be able to talk. There's no form. It's not a man-based religion.
Right. I mean,
you can't have life. Women, we hold this life. We build this life. We give birth to this life. Right. And then I'm going to have some man be like, well, no, man this, man that, man. No, give me a fucking break.
Well, as I said, religion is in...
Yeah.
Spirituality, what do you believe in?
Right.
Those are things that are important. You want somebody who's on the same plane as you when it comes down to your own belief system.
Right. Don't throw your religion down my throat because there won't be a second date.
Crazy.
What's your main priority in life? Now, when he asked that question, I was thinking to myself, like, not a lot of people know
what their main priority is. Like, what's important to you in life? I would say, you know, for me, my main priority is my kids, you know, my family, you know, trying to make it through the next day. You know, we all have dreams that we want for ourselves. We all have goals, you know, and that's something that's important. Like, what goals do you have for yourself? What do you see?
Nothing.
Where do you
see? I'm a fucking loser.
Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? What do you want in life?
On my mama's couch.
No, that's a big no.
Can you
imagine? That's a fucking big no. You can imagine my face. You'll be able to see it all over my face.
What do you mean? What's a priority? Once they ask that question, that's like no second date.
Yeah. Like, it's just, what is important to you in life? What do you want to do?
Do my thing.
No, that's not doing your thing. You know, like.
No, but I know guys that have asked, like, answered like that. Like, oh, so what do you have going for yourself? Like, what do you have? What are you into? What do you want to do? And so, you know, do my thing. Like,
you know, because that kind of question dictates the rest of your relationship in terms of if you grow together or if you grow apart.
Right.
You know, because if you're both. If you're shooting for the stars and he's like, well, yeah, I'm just chilling, then that shit ain't going to work in the long term.
No, it's not. He'd be like, yo, can you pass me the remote? Okay, number 10. How important is physical intimacy to you? How often do you expect it?
I think that's extremely important.
Every fucking day at 5 o'clock when I come home.
I think physical intimacy is important in any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. How often do you want it? You know, listen, everybody works, have schedule.
Life.
It's life. I don't think anybody expects to do it every single day, you know, especially when you come home and you're freaking tired. You just want to chill and go to sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you should have those moments where you have that, you know, that time together.
Yeah.
On the weekends or, you know, wherever, wherever you see fit technically at that moment.
Right.
It all depends on the individual. But for me, I would want it like regularly.
Right. I don't think it should be scheduled. I just think it should be scheduled.
I wanted something often. Yeah, right. Often. Like not something where I'm fucking a month later. It's been like, who are you fucking then? Because you ain't doing me, you know? Because everybody got needs.
Yeah.
Men and women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So it's,
Let's see here. List deal breakers. What's a deal breaker for you?
Communication.
Mm-hmm. Bad communication.
Yeah, bad communication. Not being able, if there's a problem or if I said something wrong or I, you know, whatever it is, and you instantly shut down and don't address it with me directly. And I don't mean through fucking text form, which I've dealt with. I mean, physically get on the phone with me and talk to me. That's a deal breaker. I don't like that.
Yeah.
You know me, like I want you to be able to feel free to talk to me. If you can't do that, then that's a problem. Okay. Because nothing can be fixed if we don't talk.
Yes.
If we don't talk like, it out.
I keep telling my son, closed mouths don't get fed.
You know, so it's.
Yes. Talking. I'm trying to think, besides the fact of not putting a garbage bag in the pail.
Oh, yeah. Like, so those are the small pet peeves. Yeah. Yes. You know, like. I have a lot. You know me. I know.
I'm very particular.
Yeah, I'm very particular. I like things in certain places. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like if you come into my house, you like no. Like if you move it here, I'm gonna move it back to where you you know. And I don't know if it's a little OCD because it's kind of like a little of OCD.
Yeah. Like and that's I think that's a good question also to ask. Like, do you have any OCDs? Like
yeah. So my ex, you know, I like some. He has. I have OCD where I want things to be in a certain place. But he had OCD to a whole nother level where he didn't want to open up the fridge because he didn't want fingerprints on it. He didn't want to wash the dishes in the sink because I don't even understand. I just don't understand.
Two pairs of socks all year round. Yeah, that I don't understand. Like
it was just issues. Yeah. He had issues beyond my.
So it's like extreme OCD could be a deal breaker for some people.
Yeah, you know, but I dealt with it, you know, because you know what? At the end of the day, nobody's perfect.
I know, but some people can't handle that.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be you're being too much.
Yeah, some people can't handle that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's why I said there's people out there that will, there's some people who would take on somebody else's shit and the next person will not.
Yeah.
It all depends on the individual.
Like a deal breaker for me is if I know you have kids and I see you do absolutely nothing for them.
That too.
Lack of communication, lack of interest, lack of respect.
Right. And then, you know, the sad part is those women that are with those men that completely ignore that aspect
because they
it's sad.
But that also shows. And it's like I say, even with my ex-husband's girlfriend, like she thinks that he's so great because her ex-husband was so bad. But then it's like he really, really is. But what happened in your past, in your childhood?
Right.
That you're okay with this. Where you could get so much better.
Look at my situation. Look at my ex. Right. He's married to somebody who never had kids, who doesn't have kids, who doesn't have that understanding, comprehension. You would think based off of you were from a divorced, you know, you came from two parents who got separated and divorced, that little bit of understanding would be somewhat there of, you know, knowing, well, you know, I want, you know, that, you know, the whole situation when it comes down to being a child of divorce, you know, so you would think that she would see and pay attention and understand that, but she doesn't, you know, you see my kids more than he does.
I know. And I live in another place. I'm not even a borough.
There's no interest there of, hey, how's school? How you doing? You know, you doing good grades? What's going on? Yeah. Do you need anything? Yeah. No, it's. Oh, check out my YouTube video.
Yeah, like, I got this new Star Wars figure.
Yeah, like you know? It's not getting to know your child. Mm-hmm. It's only for fun and games.
Right.
Not on the serious level.
And he's not parenting in the sense of he's not teaching them anything.
Yeah, of seeing how are you, how are you growing? How are you developing? You know, in that aspect.
Yeah, how's your mental state? Do you have any friends? How cool is this friend? I don't think he knows any of their friends.
No. And I'm not going to say he doesn't ask. He just instantly assumes without really even asking them. Mm-hmm. Like he'll call them. He's like, oh, how come he's not answering the phone? Because he's on the phone with his friend playing games. You know what I mean? You know, it's just, but that's always how it's always been from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was always him forcing his views on them. And it's just like, what about them? What about getting to know them for who they are and what they like and their interest?
Yeah.
You know, what are they into? And that's not something that isn't even addressed to me from what I observe up until today.
I think,
but it is what it is.
Yeah. And she's okay with that. So it's not a deal breaker for her.
There's a lot of things. I'm sure that's not a deal breaker because as I said, what I didn't want to put up with, she probably does.
Right. And everybody's different. that our ex-husbands are bad people.
Because they're not.
They're not bad people. It's just that
we just don't see eye to eye.
Right.
On a lot of things.
Right.
And that's just what it is at the end of the day.
I mean, your ex is like a walk in the park compared to mine.
Yes.
In a bigger picture.
Right.
But, you know, like I said, she is okay because she's very old school in the sense of, you're with somebody, you stick it out, and there's going to be problems. But it's like,
because she's older too.
Yeah.
She's older.
You know, I'm sure he's gaslighting her too. And she walks on eggshells. She can't even really talk to him.
In her own house.
Like, yeah. It's her house.
Yeah. So, hell to the fucking no.
Yeah. So it's very funny to see. It's like, where it's like, like I said, I'm already very familiar with it.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Last question was, typically, why do your relationships end? And what I was going to say when we kind of brought it up at the beginning of the episode is the fact of a lot of people don't want to look at what maybe they've done to have the ending. Yes.
A lot of people are quick to put the blame on the other person, mm-hmm. instead of really looking inward and seeing, you know, because it takes two.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship ends because, to me, I think both people on both sides, you know, at some point,
mm-hmm.
you know, like drift apart.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work anymore where it ends.
I mean, I got to my breaking point in my marriage, and then I wasn't right. I did a lot of bad shit, and yeah. I was still legally binded to this person.
Right.
Am I happy about it? No. Do I know why I did it? Yes. Do I condone it? No. But it's just, that's exactly what happened. But with, you know, I immediately thought about Mr. Basket Case with this question.
Right.
Because I had asked him that on our first date.
Because I think a lot of people won't admit to themselves what they did wrong, mm-hmm. or where they went wrong.
He was just like, I don't know. She because just left. And it's just like, no, someone just doesn't just leave.
No, there's
you did something to make
it.
Them leave.
Yeah, there's reasons behind everything.
Yeah. Just like with Mr. Jazz, like, oh, she was this, she was that, da da da. She broke up with you and she was a drug addict? Oh, wow, that speaks volumes, because drug addicts would stay because they have those addictive personality disorder where they're addicted to certain things.
Right.
But she got to a point and she was like, I'm done.
Or alcoholic. I don't even remember.
Whatever. She was some kind of an addict. Yeah. And broke up with him.
Right. I don't know the depths of why, and but
he had extreme OCD and yeah. he was an addict.
Yeah,
so you get two addicts together and he didn't want to even accept the fact that he's an addict.
No, no.
And he will never, never, because he has an image that he wants to uphold and portray.
Right.
So that's where his loss is.
Right. I can instantly go back to why my marriage didn't work. And I can say that I'm partially to blame with that as well. To some degree, you know, I think we all have certain things. Because with me, I used to shut down and just say, fuck it. This is what it is. This is the world I'm fucking living in. And that's it, mm-hmm. you know. But there's always something that you need to look back and address and see, where did I go wrong? Did I go wrong? Or is it the other person? You know, so mm-hmm. it's always something.
Yeah. But
I don't think we're all like innocent when it comes down to certain things. You know, it is what it is. I mean, you could say for some situations where the guy just completely, you know, where there's some men that cheat, you know, on their women and they try to be, there's some, you know, relationships like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But needless to say.
But this was very fun, actually.
It was very informative.
Yes.
12 mm-hmm. questions.
The more you
so,
know.
Yeah. So do you believe, like, these are definitely questions that I think that you should ask on a first date.
Yes, I agree. I concur.
There's a lot of people who would say otherwise.
And those are the people that are not serious, looking for anything serious.
Right. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And be real with yourself, people.
Yeah. Especially if you're really looking for something serious for real.
Yes. But yeah, if you want to reach out to us on Instagram or the Book of Face, it's Lady and the Harlot. If you want to reach out to us and tell us your story, which I invite you to, reach out to us at ladyandtheharlot@gmail.com.
Right.
We have merch, and Cheryl has one more tidbit. What was it? Oh yeah. Leave a review.
Yes.
A positive one.
That's right. If you like what you hear, leave that review, a positive one, because doing that helps us
grow.
That's right. And check us out. Like us if you like what you hear. Follow us.
Share with your family.
Yes. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Share with your friends.
Oh, God. And with that, I'm Dagna.
I'm Cheryl.
And that was another week's episode of Leading the Harlot Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Deuces.
All the good girls go to her. All the good girls go to the